Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And, you know, actors, you know, we all have our niche and we all have, like, our bread and butter, as I would say. Mine is bratty daughter or angsty girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I get the opportunity to kind of break out of that, that's the most satisfying work.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Catherine Corcoran.
And I'm James A. Janisse. Welcome to Scream Dreams, the nightmares that shaped us, where we talk to your favorite filmmakers and creatives about what really scares them. Today we're talking to Sierra McCormick, an actor.
Hello.
A very experienced actor, despite her young age.
Yeah, that is true. I take that for granted a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, you've already had almost 2 decades.
No, you're correct.
Of professional experience.
When did you start? When did you start and how did you start getting into the business?
I started when I was 8 professionally, and it was definitely something that, like, I really, really wanted to do. I had to beg my parents to let me do it. I was kind of a difficult to have in class kid, and so in school I went to, like, a very strict religious school, so they were not about that.
What religion
was it? A Catholic Episcopalian
school? Oh, okay.
Which is almost like Catholic school. They didn't have fathers and nuns and shit, but, like, the trauma's still there.
I was Catholic school for 5 years.
I was like, if there's anything that's gonna make you not religious, I think it's going to religious school.
Exactly.
As a kid, but was there, and they kind of insisted I do drama club, something to kind of, like, maybe get some of that energy out or whatever.
They're like,
it was.
You go over there, play pretend, we don't have time for this.
No, literally, they were like, you are distracted, like, distraction. Like, you need to either, like, get some of that out, or, like, you need to go, kind of thing. So I did that, and I really loved it. And my drama teacher, I'm from Palm Springs originally, and so she kind of suggested to my mom, like, oh, you could go up to LA and you could try it out this way and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, mom, please, 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 please. And she was kind of like, well, we can try it, like, one time for, like, an audition or something, but, like, if it doesn't pan out, you're gonna have to wait till you're older or whatever. And I booked that audition.
Wow, your first one.
Yeah, and it was
right out the gate.
Yeah, right? I was just like, okay, mom, so promise is a promise, but it was for something, like, that never became anything. It was, like, a talk show pilot for, like, kids. It was, like, something like that. So it wasn't something that was, like, any kind of substantial anything, but it was still my first audition, and I booked it, so my mom had to let me keep doing it.
Nice.
That was her end of the deal. So
hold her to her word.
Yeah. And so started doing essentially just kind of, like, network TV after that. So, like, every mid-2000s, like, procedural you could think of.
Like,
I was
Dick Wolf stuff, or?
No, never got to be in any Dick Wolf
stuff.
Oh,
no, okay.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you missed out. Maybe now you can go back and do it.
Yeah, now I could go back and be like, Dick, what's up?
Yeah.
Like,
look at these credits.
A lot of
that stuff casts out of New York, or, like, on the East Coast,
interestingly.
Okay.
So, like, you can see the difference between where people started based on what their, like, early procedural
credits. CSI Vegas, Criminal Minds.
Okay,
and that was all
West
stuff
Coast.
That shot here in LA.
And as a kid you were doing that?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So, yeah, from age, like, maybe 8 to, like, 12, 13, I was doing, like, Monk and Boston Legal. And all those, like, shows and stuff like that, and a couple Christmas movies, as everyone always does. And so, yeah, it kind of started there, and then I worked on a lot of TV, and then after that I did a lot of, like, movies, a lot of indie movies, and eventually made my way to indie horror after working for Disney for a while, and so definitely wanted to switch it up from that, and indie horror was there for me. And
what was your first horror project?
My first horror project was called Some Kind of Hate, and it was Adam Egypt Mortimer's first movie.
Oh, cool.
And he's gone on to do a bunch of wonderful, brilliant things since then. But I got to be in his first movie, and I played the monster, kind of, in that movie.
Oh, fun.
Which was, like, satisfying every dream that like 10-year-old Sierra had ever had. Because like whenever I was in like, you know, kid acting class or like whenever I'd go to auditions and like adults would ask me like, what do you want? Like, what's your dream thing? Like, what do you want to do? And I'd be like, I want to be in a horror movie, but I want to be the scary thing. Like that was my,
that
was my goal. And so I got to fulfill that in Some Kind of Hate. And I'm this very unique sort of slasher villain. It was a wonderful experience. Yeah, it was fantastic.
You were saying before we started that you've always been a horror fan. Is there like one particular film or like role that you've always like admired or even one recently?
Yeah, like I really love Andrea Riseborough's work in the genre with Mandy and Possessor, but particularly Mandy. I love that movie so much. I love
Panos's,
fan. His whole filmography. I'm obsessed with.
I always call Mandy like the prog metal of horror movies. That's what it feels like. It's so you're going off on these weird time signatures.
It's so sludgy and like just hypnotic in a way.
It's very hypnotic.
Like,
yeah.
And that movie has like one of the most like effective emotional through lines to me of any horror movie I've watched. Like it truly got me. Like I was like crying in the theater when I saw it. It was like my favorite movie of
their relationship.
Yeah, their relationship. And just the way that's treated and how it kind of motivates the whole movie. And I don't know. And when I saw it, I got to see it in a theater, which was wonderful. I got to see it at the Cine Lounge in Hollywood, which is one of the best places you could see a movie like that. Like a lot of people were like laughing at it kind of, which like I get, you know, when people kind of feel a certain way, they might laugh.
There's some funny parts. The underwear vodka chugging.
But like to me, that's like it can be funny. But when I watched it, to me, it's like, oh, my God, this is so traumatic. Like this is such like. I feel like all the emotions are played for absolute realism in that movie. And so that's, I think that's why it got me so much. It's such a wonderful relationship movie. You know, I don't know. It gets me like the romantic relationship between the two of them is so wonderful. And I think Andrea Riseborough's kind of role would be the sort of stereotypical like dead girlfriend thing. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that the filmmaker and the actress like treats it kind of elevates it beyond that sort of typical stock kind of character.
Definitely.
I could go on about that movie for a very long time.
Yeah, like, me too. It's one of my favorites. Definitely one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah.
I think was Annihilation the same year? Because like that one's up there for me too.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that one nearly as much.
Oh, no, you didn't?
Not as much as Mandy. Okay, like that's almost not fair. Like to be fair, like Mandy's probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And I love that movie and I love Beyond the Black Rainbow as well, his previous film. Like every 3 or 4 months or so, there comes a time where I'm like, I think it's about time to take some edibles and watch Beyond the Black Rainbow again. I think I just need to do that for myself. It's like a little ritual, like 3 to 5 times a year. I'm like, yep, I'm good for that. Like,
time to cleanse the palate.
Right? Literally. It does that.
I actually have a replica of the Beast on my wall in my house.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, the axe for Mandy.
What?
And what was funny is this is like kind of an infamous moment on my channel is when I covered that film, I bought that and I had it on the set. And after filming the episode, I like shifted it a little. I was like, oh, that sits there real nice. And then it fell and hit a light stand and cracked right in half.
No.
And it's on camera, me screaming like, no. And my now wife runs in and you hear her off camera be like, baby, are you okay? And I'm like, my fucking thing broke. And so no. I emailed the people who made it, Legion M, actually the producers. And I was like, I just bought this thing and it broke and I spent so much. Is there any way? And they sent me a replacement.
Oh my God.
As long as I just said on the video, like, hey, they sent me a replacement.
Oh my God.
Get yours if you want. But now the new one is firmly affixed to the wall.
You better bolt that shit in.
What if
like
the broken one?
The broken one we still have and we'll take to convention sometimes because it's such like a moment in the channel's history that people are like, is that the broken Mandy axe? And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's it.
It's got its own lore now outside of the movie.
I want to see it in like slow motion. Just, no.
Yeah, you just see it fall.
I'm sure it felt slow motion at the moment. Like.
Yeah, I just like the first day I owned this very expensive replica, cracks in half. I'm just like,
oh my God, that's devastating.
But it's all good in the end.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes.
Why would we do otherwise? what gets you then? What if it's not really horror movies? Because you were saying earlier that you know you've watched them since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
What actually scares you? Do you even have nightmares?
So I think I was thinking about this, and so I think my fears could probably be separated into like two categories. Uh-huh. And first category is things that make sense to be afraid of, like duh kind of category.
Like
and
what?
Then
like
huh?
Like what?
Like
dogs.
Like dogs? No. Like
terrifying, no, terrifying creatures.
No. Like like as someone who moves through the world as, you know, a feminine presenting person, mm-hmm, I'm always afraid of being murdered at the hands of a guy. Yeah, you know, yeah, like totally. Shit like that where it's like, okay, or like I'm afraid of, yeah, I'm like falling off of a building or like, yeah, falling off, you know, falling out of something or like, yeah, stuff like that where it's like that makes sense. Yeah, or totally. I have a fear kind of not dying all the way, and so being in that like half state of almost dying for, ooh, a long time, like that freaks me out. That's a fear of
like
mine.
Like buried alive?
Or just like kind incapacitated, on tubes or and like, not being able to communicate.
If you ever, yeah, saw the movie The Lobster, oddly enough, there's like a moment in that movie that like made me want to crawl out of my skin, which was crazy because that movie also made me like belly laugh genuinely. But like crawl out of my skin is when the woman, she like falls out, she like jumps out of like the third story, and then throughout this other conversation that's happening, you just hear her kind of groaning in the background.
Okay. Yeah.
And or like the end of The Exorcist, kind of when the priest, he's like, mm-hmm, kind of like he has jumped out of the thing and fallen down all those stairs and he's kind of twitching, like that creeps,
yeah,
me out.
He's like, do you repent for all your sins?
Yeah,
and he can't even answer.
Can't even
it's
answer.
Like, no, no. And
so I was like, oh, like that like icks me out. But I feel like that's a very logical thing to be,
sure,
afraid of.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was a kid, because a lot of like people's fears, they kind of go back to when they were a kid. But I think my parents kind of let me watch whatever I wanted because I didn't have a lot of those like fears. Like my number one fear when I was like a small child was death. But not in the way of like, oh, like there's a monster and he's gonna kill me or like something like that. It was more just like death at large, where like so much so that when I was a kid, I had a very loose tooth and I was so afraid that I was gonna like accidentally inhale it in the middle of the night while I was sleeping and like die, that I pulled it out myself. Oh. I like yanked it out because I was like, I can't do this. Like this anxiety is too much. Like I don't wanna worry about every night when I go to sleep, like inhaling this tooth accidentally. And so I just pulled it out myself, which is a crazy, that's insane to think about as a kid.
But it's not though, because we've had a lot of people interestingly come on the show and talk about how they have various teeth nightmares.
It's a common,
yeah,
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think I don't really have a lot of nightmares personally, but the one that I do have that everyone usually has is the teeth falling out one,
yeah,
which is like extra terrible for some reason because you wake up and you're like feeling around in your mouth to make sure you have all your teeth, which,
yeah,
is such a weird feeling. But no, like I think my fears mostly when I was a kid was dying, kind of in the very like general sense, but
yeah,
it wasn't like a singular monster or anything like that. However, the only movie that did scare me like genuinely, like deeply when I was a kid was The Descent.
Oh, like, yeah, The Descent is one of the scariest movies
ever. Scared the
shit
out of, yeah, me. And I'd seen like a lot of the classics. Like I'd seen Halloween, I'd seen Friday the 13th, and you know, The Shining, and movies like that. And I was kind of always like, yeah, those are pretty cool. Didn't really scare me though. But that movie, The Descent, like,
what scared you more? The first half where they're going through the caves, or the second half with the creatures? Because I think the first half is actually scarier.
Either
but
one.
Both,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole movie is so terrifying.
When
to
they're
me.
Trying to get through some of those narrow passages,
God,
and get stuck, I'm like, oh my God.
And I'm not like a claustrophobia person,
yeah,
really, mm-hmm, either. I think because I'm a pretty small person, I've been able to kind of fit in small spaces. And so I don't get that feeling a lot of people get. But like something about the darkness and certain things don't scare me because, like, The Exorcist didn't, like, scare me because,
yeah,
I don't believe personally in, like, possession and
mm-hmm,
things like,
yeah,
that. But for some reason, The Descent, like, that's kind of almost real enough for me to be like, there could be some fucking cave mutant people down in,
sure,
that shit,
yeah,
that we haven't, like, explored, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's kind of believable to me, at least. And so the dark and just the way the scares are done in that movie, and so I saw it when I was, like, 9 or so, and terrified me, and I didn't watch it again until I was like 21, and I went and saw it in a theater, and I was like, you know, I'm an adult now, like this is fine, whatever. And then like literally the first jump scare, I like screamed, like,
I'm a
so
grown
loud
up now,
yeah.
No, literally I was like, ah! Like
I think the first time I saw The Descent, it was a double feature I did with Wreck for the,
ooh,
first time too,
yeah,
and those are two of the scariest movies,
yeah,
I've ever seen.
No, that's a very, it didn't get me like Descent did, but that is also an equally scary movie. And
mm-hmm,
so when I was a kid, that was like the only movie that really did it. And then like to an extent, Silent Hill kind of a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Just I think it's like the dark and like twitchy kind of unpredictable nature of like, because like those nurses kind of freaked me out in that movie.
Anything
but,
like humanoid kind of gets me for sure. You know what I mean? Like
something,
like, I don't know. The idea of this has become like obviously much more of a commonplace conversation in mainstream culture now, which is hilarious because 10 years ago, everyone's like, you are crazy. But like aliens.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Terrifying because they probably will look and kind of sound maybe similar to real people, but like either hate us or like want to do experiments because we're not nearly on their level. No, or like, you know what I mean? Like, terrifying.
And I don't know. That's something I can believe in, like personally, in truth. Like I do believe that like, we're not alone in the whole vastness of the fucking universe.
I mean, just how narcissistic are humans that we're like we're like, you know,
it's just us, baby.
Yeah, there can't possibly in the vastness of the universe be a species that knows as much as us. No way.
Yeah, we're the pinnacle.
This is it, really?
No, seriously. You know what I mean? And that's a valid fear to me. Yeah. Like, and it makes sense to me. And so coincidentally, you bring up aliens. The only other movie that has ever like genuinely scared me is Nope, actually.
Ooh, okay.
That movie, like, I saw it in IMAX and I took a big ass edible beforehand, so that might have had something to do with it. But it capitalized on one of my, so going to the other direction of fears that I think are a little more particular to me, like, ever since I was a kid. And the very first one happened, I think, in like 2005.
Yeah.
I've been like fascinated with like face transplants, like the medical like thing, the medical procedure of having a face transplant. And I've like done weird, extensive, deep dive research on each one when it happens.
How do you feel about Face Off?
I love that movie. That's honestly one of my favorite movies. And, like, face transplant, like, thing aside, I just love John Woo movies. And so, and I don't know, I feel like that's peak just, like, camp action. Yeah. Like, I love it. I love that movie so much. in fact, when I make, like, sometimes I'll make a list of movies that I think people should watch, and that one's, like, always at the top of the list. And, like, sometimes, like, film bro-y people will be like, what do you mean Face Off? Like, and I was like, well, have you seen it? They're like, well, no. And I'm like, okay, end of story. Like, you need to see it. Like, I'm sorry. But I love that movie. But face transplants have been like a thing for me. And so reading about all the face transplants, you end up reading about the one that happened because a woman got mauled by a chimp.
A chimp, yeah.
And that has been one of my like deep, like, I would never, if I was at a zoo or if I were, they don't really do it in movies as much anymore. Like, if you remember, like, in the late 90s, early aughts, there was, like, all those sports movies with, like, a chimp, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, I don't think I would ever do one.
I don't blame the chimp.
No, like, me honestly, neither. Like, it's totally, it's totally, like, I get it, you know? Like, I'm not condoning the action, but, like, I understand, like,
can you imagine?
It's unnatural to be like working in a movie as a
primates are weird because of how close they are to people, and you can see it.
Yeah,
like my wife and I went to the zoo and we saw an orangutan like grab something out of a like a branch outside of his cage to get something else, and I was like, that's so fucking human like. It was weird.
They're human alike enough and they're smart enough to do fucked up things, I think, to be sadistic
because they don't have like the moral boundaries of society.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And so that movie, like Nope, and that sequence, like I have never shaken or like trembled out of fear once in my life over anything, and that was the moment. Like, the people I went to go see that movie with, they were like, do we need to leave? Are you okay? And I was like,
wow.
No, this is great. Like, I've never been this fucking scared during a movie in my entire life. Like, I was shaking. And, like, even the other scene, spoilers, I guess, for Nope, where they're being, like, they're all being digested and the fact that it's an animal and it's not even a ship, it's an animal. That's so fucking scary to me.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of the biggest, like, that's a movie that has, I've never seen it again. Like, it shook me deeply.
Just the ones?
Just the one time in IMAX, you know, on edibles. Like, so scared out of my shit because also, I don't know, there's just, like, all these confounding factors in that movie particularly that made it, like, the perfect movie to scare me so deeply is that, like, it's the being mauled thing. It's the not being completely dead thing and, like, still kind of being alive or, like, half aware of what's going on. And then, for some reason, it's also on, like, a sitcom soundstage, which has its own, like, thing for me as well.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Oh, my
having
gosh.
I experienced that as a kid actor.
Literally. Yeah, literally. And so I was just, like, I was losing my fucking mind. It was so scary. So being mauled by a chimp in that way is like one of my more maybe niche fears, I would say.
I feel like that's a, like, but again, it comes back to, like, that's a logical fear.
Right.
And I think it's, like, and perspective is kind of everything, and that's what, like, makes these films so terrifying, right? It's, like, you don't know to be afraid of something until you shift your perspective on it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as a child, just seeing a chimp in a zoo is not terrifying until you come to, until you start to have the kind of existential crisis of, like, what it is to be caged.
Yeah.
And then it's terrifying, you know?
Well, that, and interestingly, I've just noticed myself, as I've gotten older, I've gotten far more sensitive to things. Yeah. Like, movies that I saw when I was a kid, and I was like, yeah, I guess that's pretty fucked up, but whatever. I, like, went to go watch as an adult, and I'm, like, covering my eyes, which I never used to do when I was a kid. And I think when you're, you know, younger, you don't, it's not that you lack empathy, it's like you just haven't developed that, like, part of your brain that can put yourself in the shoes of whoever you're witnessing or whatever. And as a kid, it was kind of like I could understand that these were, like, crazy fucked up things that I was, like, watching in this movie, but it wasn't like the actual weight of, like, the human atrocities had not fully, like, dawned on me, I guess.
For sure.
Or, yeah. like I saw Platoon when I was 12 or mm-hmm. so, and I was kind of like, yeah, Vietnam War was really fucked up, I guess,
right,
when I was 12. And then I went to go watch it in a theater as an adult, and I was like this. I was just like, I can't look. Like, this is so horrible. I was, like, on the verge of tears. I was mm-hmm. like, humans are so terrible to each other. Oh, my fucking God. But, like, that has kind of just been the theme of, like, my adulthood is kind of is
learning that humans are terrible.
Well, kind of. Or just, like, developing that, like, that empathetic, yeah, that makes movies hit much harder yeah. for me than they used to.
Well, yeah. I also think that's part of being a creative and a filmmaker, right? It's, like, it's our job to be able to understand what it is to suffer, really,
yeah,
what
yeah.
it is to feel, what it is to be
especially
human.
In horror.
Yeah, but, like, in all genres, but, like, particularly in horror, like, that is, if you don't have that understanding and that empathy, you can't communicate it. I mean, at least for me, I think it runs the gamut, but, like, you can't be upset about something happening to somebody else if you can't feel like you can put yourself in their shoes.
Right, and to me, it's also, like, I had to get older to understand, like, what, like, major pain felt like, or, like, because I didn't do sports or anything when I was a kid, I never broke any bones, like, I kind of was much more, like, reading books and, mm-hmm. like, you know, doing acting class and stuff like that, so I hadn't ever, like, hurt myself really that bad, and so that's also a big part of fear, at least to me, is, like, expecting this, like, insane pain, or, like, being yeah. afraid of, like, this impending, like, potential, like, ouch, or, like, mega, like, hurt, I guess.
Yeah.
And so once I got a little older and I had experienced more pain, like, physically, I was just like, oh, like, that's a big part of fear, is, like, being, like, anxious about the idea of, like, you're about to get hurt kind of thing. And I couldn't really do that until I was a little older as well, because when I was a kid, I was kind of like, I don't really know how things hurt that much, yeah. you know?
Oh, I knew she'd come today. Oh. Don't you guys have a film together?
I think we do. And so I think I detect the presence of Miss Barbara.
That's yes. right. You got it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my sixth sense. I could sense her.
Sense her.
Oh. She comes.
And...
just watched you grow up into this fine young lady.
Oh my God.
It's so great to have you on our show.
It's such an honor to be here.
Well, like, when we think about the young actresses that are working today, I mean, you are at the top of the list as far as talent, beauty, smart,
oh
fashion
God.
Sense for shoes.
You're gonna make me blush.
Oh my God.
We just love you. So, I mean, I will tell you, in my house, we stand Miss Barbara Crampton, just letting you know.
Oh my God.
Like,
mutual love, mutual love.
It is
love.
Very serious.
You know, yes. you know, seeing you guys sit next to each other, she kind of reminds me of your daughter a little bit. I don't know if
okay,
you, if
well,
you've gotten that.
Actually,
yeah, well, we're
plot,
we're
yeah.
plotting a movie,
yes.
and you're I'm gonna play your mother.
Oh, that's cool. I think I can
no,
definitely
we're already,
see that.
We're already
yeah.
talking about it. You didn't even
it
know.
Makes so
what we're
because you
about.
Remind me of my mom a
oh,
lot. Like my
really?
Mom and you look very yeah. similar. Like my mom was, you know, Texas beauty, like, you know, blonde, blue eyes,
yeah.
tan back in the day, you know. Uh-huh. And so like you guys look very similar.
but I think you're right. She does look like Olivia a little
yeah.
bit.
I got to meet her because you're not the
yeah.
first person that has said that. Like I've
uh-huh.
had a couple people tell me
right.
that now, and I'm like, man, I need to meet her.
Yeah,
her
early
days when she's home.
Yeah.
You were talking earlier about movies that scare you or things that scare you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a couple things that I was thinking about. Have you ever seen that movie Eyes Without a Face?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Because you didn't mention that. And you were, you yes. said that scares you, like, thinking about a face. Like,
no. Ah. It does. Right? And like, face maiming or, mm-hmm. like, some, like, a specific, because I feel like a lot of horror people have, like, certain gore that, like, is their thing that freaks them out. And mine's, like, a head squish or, like, a yeah. face something, because that's, like, what we connect to most as, like, people. And I think that's why face transplants, face like, transplant. Were so yeah. fascinating.
That was the first horror movie that I ever saw.
Eyes Without a Face?
Oh, yes. Cool. And oh I God. Didn't know what I was watching. And I was oh. by myself at home, and it was, like, the million-dollar movie
yeah.
that came on at 4 o'clock in the oh, afternoon wow. or something. And I was sitting there, and I might have been 9 or 10. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, whoa, what is... I didn't wow. even know what a horror movie was.
Yeah.
And it was on TV.
Oh my God.
And it was
God.
So scary to me.
I'm yeah. so jealous you got to experience it that way, because when I watched it for the first time, I was an adult, and yeah. it was on the Criterion Channel, right. and so I was like, I knew about it, and I'd seen like a part of the big scene with the mm. face and stuff like that, so it had been spoiled for me in a way that it didn't hit me quite as hard as I think it could have had I gone in completely like not knowing anything.
Right.
But I love that movie.
I love that movie no. so much. It's so creepy. What about the movie Tusk? How do you feel about that movie?
That
because
movie,
that's like yeah, taking it to the next
yeah,
level.
Yeah.
Face, a whole body transplant.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That movie almost occupies a different thing for me. It doesn't like freak me out or make me feel like so scared, but like it's so fascinating and it's almost kind of camp to me. Like the whole idea is just so insane and right. ridiculous that I'm just, it was more like, I can't take my eyes away from yeah. like what is happening.
It viscerally got to me.
Yeah.
Like I was really disturbed watching him, Justin Long, I yeah. guess it was, moving in that Ugh. Suit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, he's become a different being.
Yeah.
And no, that also really scared
me. It's very effective because I remember yeah. watching it and it wasn't as much like, I was just more like, what the fuck?
Right, fascinated.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah,
this it is was crazy.
Like, I can't. Yeah. I'm sickened but curious. Yeah. Like, I can't stop looking, but, like, this is freaking me out a little bit.
And then you were talking about Mandy being one of your favorite movies or if your favorite movie.
Yeah.
And then it made me think or wonder, you've been in the business for so long. What do you want to do going forward? What is it? Because Mandy occupies a certain space within the horror genre that's, like, kind of esoteric horror. Mm-hmm. Just,
yeah.
like, out there. It's kind of yeah. just... I don't know, it's very artistic mm-hmm. and emotional from a deep, deep place.
Yeah.
And it almost, yeah. the narrative doesn't even matter as much as what's going on in the people and
yeah.
what they're feeling. So there's something about that that really touches a lot of us and is now, because the
yeah.
world is so fucked up and changing. Anyway, this is a multifaceted question, but does that movie or anything else that's going on today or where you are, where you've been, give you any impetus to thinking where you want to be in the future in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I brought up when you asked me about actresses and horror and stuff like that, I brought up Andrea Riseborough's yeah. work in Possessor and mm-hmm. Mandy, because she is a big idol for me in that respect, because I think she looks and acts and is completely different from role to role. It's like she never yeah. does the same thing twice, or it never feels like she's repeating anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, if I had like a goal for my mm-hmm. career, it would really just to, it'd be to just do something different each time.
Right.
And I think that's why I end up just naturally sticking to horror a lot, because it offers you a lot of those opportunities to like mm-hmm. just change yourself completely. And I love doing like very like, disappearing into my work kind of thing, where I can like really create like a unique person from the ground up with a filmmaker. Like
right.
I love that collaboration, and I love doing all kinds of research and changing my appearance really drastically.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mandy is honestly just a movie that I love, and I'd love to be in something that's kind of more sort of meditative and stylistic like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you were
yeah.
saying, a little more like abstract and artistic in terms mm-hmm. of like the emotional through line.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a goal of mine. And then, like I said, just, like, doing something, like, completely different. I'd love to just be a completely different person. I'd like, my goal is, if I'm doing it right, is that it seems like I don't repeat myself too
right.
much either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, actors, you know, we all have our niche, and we
yeah.
all have, like, our bread and butter, as I would say. Mine is bratty daughter or angsty girl.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I get the opportunity to kind of break out of that, that's the most satisfying
Okay, noted for the thing that
we're
writing
when
for
you. Yes. You're my awesome mom.
Yes. Okay, now it's time to play the sidebar.
Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Okay, so this game, all these games were invented by Catherine because she's so
awesome. Oh, my
God,
yes.
And I don't know if they all work, but we try.
Yeah. And we're going to start with an image or something, a few lines of a possible dream that we all collectively create. So I'll start and I'll say a few things about the dream, and then you can add, and then you can add, and then
and then
we're gonna do it with Skelly Sam.
Oh, Skelly Sam, we haven't been acquainted yet. Hello,
he's been listening.
Skelly Sam. He's you know he's a man of few words.
And then
or woman.
And then how do we end the dream? It's like, how do we wake up? Do we know, or it's just going to happen on its own?
Yeah.
It's just going to happen on its own. And we're going to wake up.
You know, it's hard to find the motivation to have a balanced diet when you're cooking everything from scratch and spending hours chopping vegetables.
But Factor has a solution. Factor sends chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door. All you have to do is heat them up.
Yeah, they have dozens of meal options to choose from and more than 60 add-on items to shake things up.
Whether you're a vegan, a vegetarian, counting calories, or keto, Factor has the meals that you'll love without the piles of dirty dishes. Do you use Factor, James?
Yeah, because I hate dirty dishes and I hate spending time cooking. I don't have that time.
I
don't have that time.
I know. It's a bummer because I love to cook, but I feel like just in the day and with all the stuff that we do, I just don't have time. And then I sacrifice health over, you know, eating something quick. But with Factor, I don't have to do that because it comes straight to your door.
You have convenience and good food.
Yeah, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So when we're traveling, we're doing conventions, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We can just pick them back up. Factor works with you and for you.
That's right. Head to factormeals.com/screamdreams50 and use code screamdreams50 to get 50% off.
Yeah, that's code screamdreams50.
50.
At factormeals.com/screamdreams50 to get 50% off. You know what's a nightmare? Dehydration.
Yeah, you know what's an even worse nightmare? Plastic pollution.
That's why we love Liquid Death and their evil mission to murder your thirst and kill plastic pollution.
That's right. Their aluminum cans are as metal as they get. So pick some up today because we all need something refreshing to reach for when we wake up from a nightmare.
It's true. Cheers.
Right now, we want to go into our nightmare. So this is how our nightmare starts. Okay. I am in my bed and my cat is clawing my face. You are me. We're all me.
Okay.
My cat is clawing my face. All of a sudden, my face comes off. And I have all these scratches on my face. And then the cat starts pulling at my tooth.
Oh, okay. On that note. Cat's pulling at
you
my tooth.
You kind of fed me that.
Okay.
With what you were saying.
Okay. Cat's pulling at my tooth, and then cat kind of hits one of those nerves that's in your teeth, and all my teeth sort of fall out in like a string. Like it's unraveled the thread that's keeping all of my teeth together. They all start to fall out, and I'm so horrified that I bolt up out of bed, and I look in the mirror to try to look for my teeth. And all I see is this red gash that my cat has clawed into my face with no teeth, and I'm horrified. I let out like an insane scream because I don't recognize myself, and now my first person experience is even vastly different because now I can't feel my teeth and I'm trying to speak and I can't, and all this blood's coming out. So yeah, on that note, I'm looking in the mirror horrified.
And I'm so horrified. I don't know what to do. Do I fix my face or my teeth? And panic that I'll lose the teeth. I find a needle and thread, and I start collecting the teeth and trying to tie them back together so that I can sew them back into my mouth.
But right when I get all the teeth strung together in a way that they will perfectly just reaffix into my mouth, the cat jumps up and steals them and takes the string of teeth in its mouth and runs out the door and down the hall, and I follow it. And when I walk out the door and turn into the hall, I see a strange figure standing at the end of it who the cat jumps into their arms and accepts the string of teeth as payment. And the cat looks at me with a knowing look, glad to have stolen these teeth for its own purposes.
But then I look deeper into the mist and I see who that figure is. It's Nicolas Cage. And I think to myself, Nicolas Cage has come to save the day and avenge me of the cat stealing tooth stealer animal. And then Nicolas Cage then offers his hand to me and says, "Don't worry, Sierra. I love you just the way you are. My wife has died, and I've avenged her death, and now you should be my new bride."
I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do with all of this information. I'm still bleeding out of my eye sockets. and my mouth and my face. And I look at Nicolas Cage and I say, "I don't know if I'm ready to make a commitment of this magnitude right now in this current state that I'm in. Can you help me maybe sew my face back on first?" And he looks at me and he goes, "What do you mean? Nothing's wrong." And I'm taken aback because surely you noticed the blood oozing from my what was once my face and is now just an angry red thing of muscle. but he seems completely unaware. And so now I'm running down the hallways of my apartment building trying to find anyone to believe me that my face is actually gone and my teeth are actually out of my mouth, but everyone seems to think that I'm just fine. So now I'm panicked trying to convince everyone that no, there is something wrong with me. Look, and I look in the mirror and I'm still bloody and faceless, but everyone else seems to think that this is just how I've always looked.
And I continue running down the hallway. The hallway is filled with doors, and each door I open and there are different people in there, and every time I go in I tell the people, "Don't you see I have no face?" And they just look at me and say, "Sierra, it's all about perspective." And then I start thinking to myself, what is perspective? Is this real? Is this a dream? Am I running in circles, or have I really not had a face this entire time? And I just didn't know. And so I turn back to Nicolas Cage and he says, "Yes, I hate to break this to you, but you've never had a face. This isn't a dream. You've never had a face, Sierra, and everyone has just been nice to you, making you think you had a face so that you wouldn't be embarrassed."
And then I wake up, because that's messed up.
Yay! Then you wake up. But at least you got to be in a dream with Nicolas Cage.
Yes, thank you for that. That was like the one like nice spot, that one reprieve in the dream.
Yeah.
From all the horror that is. Maybe what's interesting is the horror is not being perceived, but it's how I perceive myself is not how everyone else is perceiving me.
This is so meta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so deep.
Yeah.
How you perceive yourself is very different than how others really perceive you. When other people talk about me or, you know, whatever, it sounds weird to me.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes it's like, right? Wait, that's what you think of me? That's not what I've thought of myself. Oh, yeah. No.
Right. It can be a real mindfuck in a way.
Yeah.
Like seeing how other people actually perceive you, which is kind of almost impossible to know as well,
right?
Because everyone has their own perspective and experience, and they're going to perceive you based on factors in their life and et cetera.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But their own, they see you through their own, you know, lens.
Yeah.
And their own incomplete criteria. Understanding of you, too.
Right.
They're like, no, that's not me. And they're like, but no. That's my interpretation
right.
of you.
And then there's the stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
About who we really are.
I've been told anyone you meet that things that you like or dislike about them is just a mirror for yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's like always yeah. things you like or dislike about yourself.
That's why I like everybody. And on that note, that's the end of the sidebar. Oh. See you later.
Well, and like that, she's gone.
I yeah. know, just like that. It's good while it lasted, though. We always try to ask our guests what their nightlight is. So, and what we mean by nightlight is like the thing that keeps you going amidst all the maybe mundane but also kind of negative things in the world or scary things. What's the thing that when you wake up from the nightmare, you know, nightmare or otherwise real world thing, what's the light that keeps you going? Is it a loaf of a cat? Is it like, oh, wow. what is it?
A loaf of a cat.
A loaf of a cat, man. Yeah, it could be a lot of things. I think it might change day to day for me because sometimes it is the loaf of a cat for me. And talking about fear, my cat recently passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Which is very sad, yeah. But that event has caused like a domino effect that capitalizes on my fears. And it's not the fear of like my pet dying. That's like a terrible thing, but it's not like a fear. It's like, because my cat is not there anymore and he was the thing that was keeping this fear from me, I have like a deep, deep fear of insects. Like I have a deep fear of bugs. Mm. And so lately I have been encountering, specifically it's crickets, like specifically, ooh, like it's a genuine,
your place?
Yeah, like yeah. it's a genuine phobia, like crickets, grasshoppers, locusts, things in that family
yeah.
particularly freak me out, like very, very deeply. If you ever see me like see one, it's a pretty like physical response. But he was unknowingly like keeping
yeah.
all of that no, at bay
yeah.
for me. And so I've been dealing with one of my most sort of like tangible, real fears like lately.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been having to sort of navigate that, like, it's been like every single night I'll find like, and it's like coincidentally when my partner's gone and he's the one that always kills the bugs for me because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't bother him. But like coincidentally, it's always when he's like gone or whatever.
Do you have a salt gun?
A salt gun?
Yes.
What is a salt gun?
We have one. It's a little plastic shotgun that you load
bugs?
With table salt.
Okay.
And
you
shoot those bugs. They fucking
this is,
explode.
I need to.
Oh my God. That's
amazing.
So upsetting for
no,
me.
It's,
put them
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Bugs. Listen, I am so empathetic towards every animal.
Every
I
living
do not
creature,
count bugs.
Even they, like things that other people are afraid of, like rats and mice. I'm
yeah.
like, they're fine.
No,
like,
they're fine.
I don't want
they're
one on
critters.
Me because they have diseases
but
and
bugs,
shit. But like,
that,
no, fucking
that,
die.
That branch like, splits way high up enough from us for me to like not consider them. Fuck
no.
bugs.
You know, maybe it's because my pet probably keeps them at bay. Probably,
yeah.
Probably.
You know?
And this was unbeknownst to me. Like,
exactly. We have a cat. We've had a cat for like going on 10 years. We just got a dog last year. And once we got the dog, the cat doesn't roam as much. And so this past year, a lot more bugs.
Yeah.
Like, damn it, Molly.
Yeah.
You're keeping Lucy from killing,
literally.
Doing her job.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And it's like, I had no idea that my boy was protecting me in that way until recently. And so I've been facing, honestly, one of my biggest, most like I said, tangible fears. It's not this kind of idea or this existential kind of whatever. It's like a literal thing that I am
yeah.
like is active. I feel like I'm being hunted for sport, trying to hunt this fucking bug for sport or not.
Do bugs
for sport.
In movies scare you or
not
could,
as
yeah?
much?
Okay.
So like I don't love
when it's in person.
Like movies with bugs. Obviously, mm. it's not my favorite, but I love Candyman and like you know
yeah.
the Mummy
or what's there's like
the
a
mom,
great
that is gross that Beatles
which
yeah,
one
scare
oh.
Beatles in the Mummy yeah
yeah like
Exorcist 2 is. Full of locusts.
Oh,
and,
really?
And crickets. Yeah,
I haven't
so.
Seen Exorcist 2, so great to know. Have, thank yeah. you. But no, it's. I also I do struggle because I wonder. I'm like, man, if my dream role of a lifetime, if like Lars von Trier called me
yeah.
and was like, I want you to be in my next movie, but it's about a woman who like is one with the fucking crickets, or like. Is like, you know, bathes in a bathtub of like, you know, beetles or some
you
shit.
You could do it too.
No, I'd have to, I'm like, would I have to decline? Like, I don't know if I could do it. Like,
wow.
it freaks me out
no
that badly.
Factor.
Like, I might have to just like dissociate completely and like fuck up my brain. I don't know. Cause it's such a deep fear. And so for a while, or like lately, I've been having to maybe rely on my nightlights a little bit more after uh-huh. like having to deal with that. So I'd say, calling my sister, like, aww. My sister and I are very close, and so after I've had to kill each one of these bugs, I'll, like, call her and be like, I had to kill a bug. that, or, I don't know, like, self-expression maybe is one of those,
yeah,
one of those for me, whether that's through, like, I don't know, like, through makeup, or through style, or, you know, through making something, like, a movie or something like that, or even making something very small and cute with your hands. Like, I make these little felt, like, fruits with little faces sometimes. Oh, cool. So doing stuff like that, or watching or listening to or reading or looking at, like, art that excites me and makes me feel something, like, that can kind of be that for me. And I'm also very extroverted, so maybe, like, going out and being with other people can be one of those, like, nightlights for me. Like, that's definitely... I think I'm, like, on the minority here, because I get, like, energy at, like, the hangout, and so that energy kind of sustains me to be able to be by myself and, like, have to do those times when I'm, like, not around other people. Yeah. But that almost is what, like, relaxes me, is, like, being in, like, a big social setting. So that, I think that would be probably one of the things that's like a nightlight, I guess.
Well, thank you for hanging with us. This has been so fun.
Recharged you a bit.
This is going to like sustain me for a little while I have to be alone. So this is great.
Glad. Where can the people find out about your next project? The people of the internet, the people of the audio space.
People of the internet. I have a movie called The Edge of Everything that's going to have kind of a limited little theatrical run later this year. And then I have another movie called The Last Stop in Yuma County, in which I get to co-star with the legendary Miss Barbara Crampton, even though we don't share any scenes, sadly. And that'll be out later this year, I think in the spring as well, in like a small theatrical kind of run. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. This was so fun.
If you liked what you heard, please tell us. Like, subscribe, share, follow. Do the things. Tell your friends.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell. Always. Always ring the bell. I still don't even know what that is. I'm going to be honest. Subscribe. We release episodes every Wednesday. If you want early, full length, not cut.
Uncut.
Uncut. also, no ad-free episodes. They air on Mondays on our Patreon. Please subscribe. Until next time, thank you for joining us. I'm Catherine Corcoran.
And I'm James A. Janisse. Be sure to leave the light on.
Yes, you would do.